Father, we are so very glad that we can be here this morning, that we might break the bread of life, that we might be able to tap into the Spirit of God, that we might be able to move and to see the reality of your presence, the reality of your purpose, the reality of your presence with us, in that you desire to bring us yet into that realm of heaven. Father, that is equivalent to being one with you. So, Father, we just present our mind to you this morning. We present our desires. We ask for your blood to be upon them, that my thoughts, Lord, will be your thoughts, that my emotions will be your emotions, that my desires will be your desires. Lord, I do not want to think my thoughts. I do not want to express my desires, Father, but I want to move in accordance to your good pleasure, accordance to your position, your place of preeminence. I pray for the ears of the hearers, Father, that we might hear what the Spirit is saying. It is so critical in this hour.
Amen.
7 times, Father, you say in the book of Revelation, to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, we would that we might be of that contingent of brethren that would be able to hear in the Spirit. And Father, that we would not just be hearers only, but we would be doers. So Father, we present ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we had almost combined this into one place. That way we wouldn't be turning back and forth. Almost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm always waiting for somebody to interpret for me. I don't need any interpretation, right? I got the Holy Spirit, right? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I have appreciated the unction.
There is something there. This young lady has something.
I'm sorry?
She has something.
She has something.
Yes.
Okay.
When you were singing the song just before you came up.
Okay.
When you finished singing the song just before you came up, I had a vision.
Okay.
And I saw like a glass box.
Glass box?
A glass box, yeah. It was inside water, but it had water in it. And the water outside was clean, but the water inside the box was stagnant water.
Stagnant water. Well, praise God. Praise God. What did the parable comes to me? It wasn't a parable. It was the word that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "You clean
the outside of the cup. Outside of the cup.
You clean the outside of the cup." Let's find the scripture.
He called him
whited walls almost.
Yeah, I think it's my people. Whited sample first. My people.
Huh?
Matthew 23.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 23.
Matthew 23.
Whoa.
25. Yeah. Woe unto you, said. Okay, no, let's go back up a little bit. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithes of the mint and the anise and the cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave other undone. Ye guides, blind guides, with strain at a gnat and swallow at a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. But thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a strong word. Praise God. But it is an admonition to us as a church, as a fellowship. When I say that, I mean we have a particular word.
Yes.
That is very different. It is a word that is not contained in a denominational setting, nor can it be can it abide in that position, and therefore denominational rules do not apply. Denominational demands are not something that we can adhere to or cleave unto. There is an expectation that God has with us concerning the word that we have, and that word, we will take it and utilize it in a fashion that will bring an inward change within us.
Yes.
So that we may have the right words, we may have the right concept of the word, but if that concept or that word is not facilitating a change, hallelujah, then the transgression of non-change is something that is attributed to us and that we are held accountable for individually.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's not a matter of what I think about you or me. It is not a matter of what you might think about me in that respect. It is a matter of what God sees. Because God is not working on dressing up a building or bringing it into a place that looks good, but He wants it to be good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was trying to figure out how long I had probably been under this word. I think when I first heard the word, strangely enough, it was not through Brother Duciel, but it was through another man who I came in contact with and was in fellowship with for some time, and it was the basics of this word. So my experience under this word goes back maybe 45 years, almost 50 years, that I have been under this particular word, praise the Lord. And I don't know if that's really something for me to brag about. In that I should be farther along than what I am, but nevertheless, there is something that God is requiring of us as a people, hallelujah, individually, and it has to be individual in the aspect of the beginning. It has to be individual. You and I have to make a decision, and we have to put seek to our decision. It is not something we can theoretically or theologically determine that this is what we believe. It is something that has to be acted out in the natural realm of our living experience.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we are going to be assessed on that basis. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That being said, and it somewhat goes in line. The thought that I had, and I have so many thoughts this morning that it's really kind of difficult to really. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will put them in order, because I have His promise. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to read a dream. I was hoping to be able to put it up on the, so you all could see it. It's much better to see it and you read it than just for me to read it to you. But if you want the dream, we'll work it out in some manner or fashion by which you might get it. Now this, without going into the particulars, there was a young lady in Africa, in Nigeria, who had this dream. It was the daughter of Brother Iago and Brother Sister Lucy, I.D. Baruch?
Baruch.
Yeah, Baruch. And I think it's very pertinent. I think it's a very pertinent dream. Let me read it to you. Dear brother, my daughter had a dream soon after the December conference in which she said that we were at home and suddenly she realized that there were two daddies in the house. And the two of them looked exactly alike. They were so alike that the children and I, the wife and I, the children and I did not know who was the real daddy and who was the fake daddy. So we eventually spotted one of them as the real one and the other one as the fake one. We started rebuking the one we felt, and that's key word there, felt, the one that we felt was the fake daddy and binding him. The one that we were rebuking and binding began to grow smaller and weaker. The one that we assumed was the real daddy now joined us in rebuking and binding the one we had decided was the fake daddy. As we continue binding the one we had decided was the fake daddy, he was about to die. And he cried out to God and said, "Lord Jesus, into thine hand I commit my spirit." At this point, my second daughter now turned to me and said, "Mommy, maybe we are binding the real daddy." And we all stopped and we looked back to see the second one laughing at us. And at that point, my first daughter, the one who had the dream, heard a voice saying, "Discernment," and she woke up from the dream. I think the dream is somewhat self-explanatory, and I'm really not going to go in it other than give you a scripture that the Lord spoke to me this morning as I was sitting there. They told me that I had the word this morning, but I wasn't sure that I did. But as I was sitting there and we were singing that word, ancient words, the Lord spoke this scripture to me. If you have your Bibles, how many of you got your Bibles? Praise God. Huh? All right. I trust that those of you who didn't raise your hand, you do have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, you at least have it on your phone or your iPad, right? And you have it open because you want to read with me because you don't know I might be deceiving you. Oh, my goodness. So, I want to go to Matthew 24. I hope you forgive me. I've been dealing with a sinus issue for quite some time. Let's start Matthew 24. And brethren, I believe that we are right in the midst of Matthew 24, globally speaking, in the natural arena of things. Let's start at verse 20. "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." You know, Brother Mark was telling us some of the atrocities and the demonic hatred that is being expressed against Christians in different parts of the world. But the Bible says a tribulation of greater proportion, of greater demonic hatred, is yet to be manifested.
Yes.
That all of that what has been experienced in that respect is of lesser is of a lesser intent than what is yet to come.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So it says, "And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'There,' believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the elect."
Amen.
Now, I don't know how you interpret that particular verse, that verse. As maybe you look at it like I did in the past, as an insurance policy saying, because I have a particular word, because I'm in a particular fellowship, I do not have to worry about being deceived, because I will not be deceived. That's not what it's saying at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A thought that came to me this morning, and I believe it was a thought that the Lord spoke to me, is it is not that we have to fear terrorists. If a person came in here with a bomb strapped to their body and wanted to set it off, that is not the greatest threat to us as Christians. That is not something that will necessarily rob you of your position or your place of inheritance. The greatest threat that we have is ourselves. Hallelujah. And when the Bible is talking about false Christ,
Jesus.
It's talking about a theology that incorporates Christ. It's talking about an idea or a concept that works in the arena of Christ. And it says, many false Christs shall appear.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It says, many false Christs. So I have the possibility and the propensity in the Adam that I was born with, hallelujah, to be a member of that contingent of Christ. Hello? Because what the devil is working with is not something that is inside the devil or in the handbag of his equipment or tools of deviltry. It is in the aspect of the nature that is within us.
Mm.
Hallelujah. My wife was recently talking to me, and she was talking about the scripture in Deuteronomy, where when Moses came down to give the law to the children of Israel. Now, that in itself is a significant event, in that God did not want just Moses to come up to the mountain. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whether we know it or not, we still have a pastoral mentality. We want someone else, or we want to be in that position of preeminence concerning the Word of God and the people.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Well, you may not think that that is something of a propensity that you might have, but I'm telling you, it's pre-programmed in the Adam nature that you were born with.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been pre-programmed by virtue of what happened in the garden back there in the very beginning. We were pre-programmed. Hallelujah. And that pre-programming has an ability to be one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
In Deuteronomy, I believe it is, 24, 25, somewhere in there, maybe. Maybe it's before that. But when Moses came down off the mount, to give the tables of stone to bring them to the children of Israel, he made a very peculiar statement. He said, and it was the Lord speaking, by the way, he says, I put before you today a blessing
and a curse.
Hallelujah. A blessing if you, what? Walk in these statutes.
Yes.
But what? A curse if you disobey, if you rebel, if you move against the contrary. Hallelujah. So the nature that was given to Adam had the potential to be positive, and it had the potential to be negative.
Right.
I don't necessarily like to use those terms. It gets into other theology, but I have no other English word to describe it. Praise the Lord. So we need to first and foremost recognize the position or the place that we are in with what it is that we have, and the jeopardy that comes with it, or the consequences that are involved concerning it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, the fact of the matter is, God knew that man, from an external position, was not going to fulfill or be able to walk in it. However, there seems to be certain individuals who have the propensity to do righteous. Hallelujah. You know, Paul made a particular statement about that. He said, prior to his conversion, he was giving his resume of who and what he was, and he says, concerning the law, what?
Blameless.
Now, we're talking about a man who was running around killing Christians and imprisoning them, but yet he says, concerning the law, blameless. But we also know that Paul got a greater revelation concerning it. But the fact of what we have is not contingent just on the aspect of us working with God. God has pre-programmed us in the aspect of when he breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul.
Yes.
The potential that was in Adam was the total potential to become like God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that creative force that was in him had the ability to move in cooperation with God in the fulfillment and the bringing that dispensation of creation to a place of fullness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Hallelujah. One of those examples that we see concerning that is when Adam, when God created Adam, he brought Adam. He says he brought every beast of the field and every fowl of the air before Adam to see.
What do we call it?
Can you imagine an omnipotent, almighty God? Huh? An omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God stepping back, putting you right there in front. Huh? Huh? And to see what it was that you would call them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we know biblically, nature, name means nature. Hallelujah. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, and to some degree, it was not just in the aspect of the animals and the birds that Adam, which he was demonstrating that creative power, that the creative power point that God was trying to make. Did you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a point that God was trying to make so that you and I would understand that we have the potential to create the aspect or the environment that is necessary to produce Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I thought I'd get an amen or two.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Brethren, we think we have a magic wand theology. It's called rapture. And we do not believe necessarily that God is going to come and lift us out of our circumstances into another environment. But we believe that we can act as Adam acted in the garden and have a theology and the knowledge of it, and then somehow, some way, God in his magic wand is going to wave us over us and we are going to become sons. Hallelujah. It's an escape theology. Brethren, it's an escape theology. Because as long as we have that theology, we have no need to change certain things about us.
Yeah.
As long as we have that theology, we have no need to have to suffer the aspect of change. Now that is the fact, that is one of the That is one of the points that we get hung up on, in that it is not a matter of just changing, it is the pain of changing.
That's right.
It's the pain of changing. And the devil has orchestrated certain circumstances and situations to get us so wrapped up in our circumstance in the natural that for us to do anything drastic would cost us a bundle. Mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, materialistically, it would cost us something, and we don't necessarily want to believe that that is what it takes for us to be sons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, when you go back to this, it says, insomuch that if it were possible, verse 24, they shall deceive the very elect. Yeah. Hallelujah. This dream is that scenario. Now, the devil does not have the strength to destroy Christ.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Yes.
Now, don't say amen too quickly. The devil does not have the strength to destroy Christ, to defeat Christ. He must use Christ to defeat Christ. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. It says false Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You have two objectives in the spirit. The first objective is the objective that God has designated, and that is to be a son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that son has the potential to become the son of perdition.
Yes.
Not only does he have the potential, he starts out in that position in the existence of how he was born, where he was born, in the midst. He was shapen what? In iniquity.
Yes.
And born in what?
In sin.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it's not talking about a natural situation. It's talking about a spiritual condition of a soul of a man that is born under the auspices of Adam's transgression. Hello? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why in John chapter 1, verse 12, when he says, for those that what? Believe upon His name, or my name, those who believe that you have the cup, that you have within you a seed that has the nature of God. Hello? Huh?
Yes.
You guys are looking at me funny.
No.
You have within you a seed. You have it. It has the capability of being the Son of God.
Yes.
But if you do not utilize the programming,
yes.
You know, I am not computer orientated. Something goes wrong with my program, and the thing goes haywire. I'm in trouble. I have to call somebody else to help me, and they're usually, I'll help you, but it never comes around. And the thing seemingly just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have within us, and John chapter 1, verse 12, I believe it is, he says, to them that believe on that aspect of my nature.
Yes.
He gave them the power.
To them I have given power. That word power is exousia. And, you know, you can say this about it and this about it and that about it. But the most basic concept, the most simplistic way for me to understand it is how one of the lexicons translates it, and it says the power to choose. Did you hear me? They that believe upon my nature have the power what? To choose the Son potential.
Okay.
Have a power to choose it. Now, if we are talking about a creative power. We're not talking about just a power that has a force to bring something into a place of subjection. We are talking about a creative force that is within us that has the ability to bring forth the nature of God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you ever really wanted something in the natural arena? You ever really wanted something? Hallelujah. I mean, you really, you wanted it down to your toenails. Huh? Hallelujah. You were thinking about it, and you're talking about it, and you're looking into it to see what the possibilities are, and it comes back over and over again. And you begin to work a strategy. Huh? To get that thing that you really want. Huh? Praise the Lord. And you will go through hell and high water to get it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And if you want it bad enough, you don't care what anybody thinks. You don't care anything. You say, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Hello?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the way that we need to want God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But you see, we can't see God. We can't touch God. We can't sense God. We can't smell God. We can't necessarily hear God even. A lot of times we say, well, I hear God say this, I hear God say that, but you know, I don't know that you're really hearing God. Hallelujah. I knew a man who once said that the body was suffering from a severe count of a severe case of lead poisoning. I feel led to do this. I feel led to do that. Huh? Hallelujah. Lead poisoning. Hallelujah. So we have, and you know, the bad news is that the devil knows all about this.
Yeah.
The devil knows about all about this, and he has been working to make us think that. To make us think that he's ignorant of what it is that he's doing with us. And sometimes I think we are ignorant. But we should not be ignorant. The Bible says we are not what? Ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So going back to this dream, there is a move in the end time church of God, in the holy place church, and there is a move that is working to put another objective, another position of authority place, and utilizing that environment to destroy the nature of God that God wants to bring forth.
That's right.
Hello? So you are your own worst enemy.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, it wouldn't be so bad if we were Baptists. It wouldn't really be so bad if we were Pentecostal, if we did not have a particular word. The fact that we have a particular word puts us in a particular place of jeopardy. And you can become an instrument that is an instrument to the advancement of the kingdom of God, or you can become an instrument that works contrary to righteousness, that wants to obliterate and to bring down that position of sonship, or to bring that son down. Hello? Hallelujah.
Mm.
Your rebellion, or my rebellion, praise the Lord, we might think that it is inconsequential, and it really doesn't affect the environment in which we are living. But you are wrong, and I'm wrong in my thinking. Hello? I'm wrong. And I tell you something else. If I am moving in a particular frame of mind under the auspices of a particular word, and I'm not doing what I need to be doing, and what I am doing is causing a ripple effect and causing other people to fall, I'm going to be held accountable.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, what?
Sin.
It is sin. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And sin, quite frankly, is when I begin to divorce myself from the plans and the purposes of God. Did you hear me? It's not going out there into the bar. It's not doing this and that, that and this and this and this. Although that those things are sin, I'm not saying that. What brings me into a place with God in the aspect of the knowledge I have is if I am not doing what I need to do in order to facilitate the purpose, the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan of God is quite simple. I want a son.
Mm-hmm.
I want someone who has my image. I want somebody who has my likeness.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, I get in a lot of trouble when I say I want to be like God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I want to be like God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't want to settle for my humanity.
Yes, amen.
I don't want to settle for being half God and half human. Hello?
Oh.
What is that? Demigod.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a demigod. Hello? Hallelujah. I want to be a full-fledged son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to wear the garment of righteousness.
Amen.
I want to hear my father say, well done, my son.
Amen.
Thy good and faithful servant, enter now into thy rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Paul, when he says, I have laid up for myself a crown in heaven. Hallelujah. Brethren, you cannot tell me or convince me that Paul did not have the revelation of eternity in the flesh.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You cannot convince me he did not have it. He said, I'm a man born out of due season.
Yes.
Mm. And he knew because he was born out of due season, he would have to cross over the line and wait for us.
Mm.
Hallelujah. I don't know, how would you respond if you had the power of eternity inside of you and you had to lay it down?
Oh, my.
And you had to lay it down. Hello? He had laid everything else down. He had given up his position. He had given up his family. He had given up his wealth. He had given up his religious righteousness. But in the law, I am blameless. He laid it on the altar. Let the fire fall and the smoke rise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm quibbling over this little thing here and this little thing here and this little thing here.
Oh, yeah.
This little, and I'm making an issue out of something that is temporal. When I'm dead, it will make no difference.
Amen.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Jesus.
That shiny car in my driveway, those clothes in my closet, those nice fancy shoes or whatever it is I have, they are going to make no difference. When I'm dead, I'm dead. Hello? I'm standing in the front of an eternal God, and he's not going to be looking at my earthly possessions. He's going to be looking at my spiritual inheritance.
Mm.
And he's going to determine, yes, you could have, but you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Hello? And there's going to be Enoch there, and there's going to be Moses there, and there's going to be Abraham there, and there's going to be Abel there. Did you hear me? Hello? Abel's going to be standing there. Abel was the first martyr.
Yes.
Mm. Who died for the sake of righteousness because someone else was jealous of him. Listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't want to be deceived, you have to have no grounds on which deceit can be built or fostered or incubated. You cannot hold anything that you think is precious in this realm of eternity. I don't care what it is. Whether it's family or fortune or faith or whatever it may be, children, wife, husband, who knows? If you hold those things more dear than your inheritance in God, you are a candidate for deception.
Mm.
And I'm not saying you don't have responsibilities and you don't have to live up to them. Brother, don't get me wrong. Don't go out of here saying that I said throw this in the trash can and throw that in the trash can. Huh? Hallelujah. But I can demonstrate my position of commitment in all of those things. Hallelujah. How about fear for my life? Huh? Come on. These are real thoughts for me. I'm going places that aren't so safe anymore. I'm getting on planes that you're telling me that the TSA or whatever your security things is going to fix it?
No way.
There ain't no way. ain't no way. I'm telling you, there ain't no way. Every time they try to implement something, the devil does something else. Because they're dealing with an entity, an intelligence that is greater than them. And not only that, but they are under that influence of that intelligence. So how are they going to make me safe? You think I'm trusting TSA? You got another thing coming. You think I'm trusting the security that they have in these airports? You got, that's a joke. Huh? It's a joke. I go through security carrying things I shouldn't be carrying. They don't. This is push me on down. Huh? Hallelujah. Not intentionally, by the way. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only security I have, the only position of assurance that I have, number one, is I got a word from God.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
I have a word from God saying, you can't, you have to, I'm saying I have to do this. Hello? And I don't say, well, me and God, no, no, no. I want confirmation in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word of God be established.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Of course, I operate a little different than most people. I suppose if I want to go someplace and I believe it's God, I believe that God will have to tell me, no, I don't want you to go. Hello? Did you hear me? And God has done that, you know. Oh, yes, He has done that on a number of times. I get a word and I feel the burden, I'm feeling the push. I say, God, I'm going. I buy my ticket. Hello? I buy my ticket. And somebody calls me up and says, Bert, I had this dream. And I said, so and so and so and so and so and so and so. And I say, okay. And then a person calls me up and says, Bert, there was this word that the Lord gave me, so and so and so and so. And I said, oh, God, okay, God, I bought my ticket. I was going. Now you tell me not to go. You have to give me back my ticket. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's God's money. Did you hear me? It's God's money. It's not my money. It's God's money. I'm responsible for God's money. Hello?
Amen.
I'm responsible for God's money. Not my money. It's God's money. I said, you gave me back my ticket. He gave me back my ticket. All of it.
Amen.
They didn't keep any of it. You know what the man told me? He says, this is the first time I've been working here for 10 years. This is the first time I've ever seen them give anybody, any money back at all. Hello? They gave it all back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, brethren, we serve a living God.
Yeah.
And that living God has an expectation of me. Do you hear me? Maybe that expectation isn't on you. Maybe I should just talk about me. But I understand the reality of my position. I have to be under the will of God.
Amen.
I have to be moving in accordance to the God's will. If I step out of that will, if I move one little iota, bang, the hammer is going to come down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And quite frankly, I wouldn't have it any other way. At the moment, at the time, I might moan and groan and yelp like a little puppy, but nevertheless, give me time to think and I'll repent. Because I have made a decision in that arena. Now, if I could make that same decision in other arenas, I think I'd be all right. Hello, I'm working on it. Hallelujah. We want to have a gospel of kingdom. We want to have a gospel of sonship. How about a gospel of perfection? Do you want a gospel of perfection? Perfection? Oh, sonship gives you a little leeway. Kingdom gives you a whole lot of leeway. Hallelujah. Huh? It's important what you call it. Huh? It's important what you call it. If I'm believing in a gospel of perfection, I have to strive for perfection.
Yes.
I cannot tolerate imperfection.
Yes. Yes.
Hello? Now I'm talking about myself. Hello? I can't ascribe and put my theology on top of you. You must come to the position. I can tell you what my theology is. I can tell you what my desire is. My desire is not just to be a contingent or part of a group of people that are sitting around God and listening to Him. My desire is to be on the left hand or the right hand. Right hand preferably. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there's a certain behavior that I have to demonstrate in order to qualify. First of all, qualify. That doesn't mean I get it. I have to qualify. I have to begin to walk in accordance to the quality what is being demanded of me in order to fulfill my position that I might be elected.
Yes, amen.
We like to say, we are the call, we are the elected. Yes, you are the call, and theoretically, prophetically, you are elected, but you are not elected in the sense of it being a substantial, visible reality in your life unless you are in that place with God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we are guilty, 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 guilty.
Hmm.
Hello? You know, I didn't have this dream. But his dream is a word that God has brought to confirm the word that God has been giving me over the last year and a half, 2 years. You can ask the people around you. Hello? Running like a madman, talking to the church, prophesying and telling them destruction is coming.
Oh, hallelujah.
Destruction is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Christians are being slaughtered. And you know, somebody brought it up last night or yesterday or whatever it was. Hallelujah. But I was going to God. You know, in Africa you hear a lot more about what's going on in the countries around. They're a lot more factual and they give you a lot more detail than they do here in Europe. Or you hear this many were killed there and that many were killed there. But when they were in the beginning, when they were going into these towns in Iraq and slaughtering the Christians, and the Christians, whether they were Coptic or whatever they are, were fleeing, and they went out to this mountain. Huh?
Yeah.
No water, no food.
Yeah.
Huh?
That was on the news.
Yeah, but the stories about it weren't on the news.
Right.
What mothers were doing for their children. They had no water, so they were cutting themselves and letting their children drink their blood.
Oh.
Hello? One man was leading them. They were prosperous. Some of those people were very prosperous. Now, they had businesses, they had homes, they had cars, they had good food, they had clothes, good clothes to wear. Hallelujah. And when they fled with just the clothes on their back and the money they could cram in their pockets. And you know what? They were robbed of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Now there was one story there about a family, and we need to know these things.
Mm.
Hallelujah. There was one family, a mother, the father had been killed on their flight out of their particular time. And they hired somebody to lead them across the desert. And they ran out of water. And the mother was giving the children her blood to drink. And the guy who was guiding them, oh God help us, they had to pay him all of their money. And when they get out in the middle of the desert, they're telling the children to leave the mother, let her die. Hello? And the children said no. Hallelujah. And they ended up carrying the mother to another place of refuge, which really wasn't a place of refuge. It had its own... It's had its own situations and circumstances. Hallelujah. We sit in our sealed houses.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Eating our steak dinners.
Mm-hmm.
We turn on the TV and we have our texting and our cell phones, our smartphones. Hallelujah. Doing our business here, that, there, there, that, as though all of this other thing is insignificant and is not touching us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I went to God. I said, God. You know, Brother Duciel had a vision. He said in the end time, he saw the contingent of God people kneeling before God and raising their hands and God save your people.
Amen.
Hello?
Hallelujah.
And you want me to tell you how bad it is? And how much you and I are in jeopardy? As in the days of Noah. Where and what? Only eight souls were saved.
Yeah.
I often said to God, how could it be that out of the hundreds of thousands of people that were on the earth at that time, only eight souls could hear God and move in accordance to His word to be saved?
Mm.
Well, I'm seeing it in the natural.
Oh, yeah.
The slaughter of the church, systematically wiping out, annihilating it.
Yeah.
And the world sits back
yeah.
and twiddles their thumbs.
Ah.
and connives to give more power to the devil to destroy in a greater magnitude. And we're not faith. Hallelujah. We're not getting down in prayer and before the God saying, God save your people.
Amen.
Oh yes, we might when it affects our land, when it affects the U.S., when it affects Nigeria, when it affects this country, that country, and that country, we might say, oh God, save Nigeria. Oh God, save Congo. Oh God, save Sierra Leone. I'm saying, God save your people.
Amen.
My God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not sons are intercessors. Sons have a responsibility. Do you know that Jesus had a responsibility for his mother?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus never relinquished that responsibility concerning that mother, concerning that woman? That woman was the church.
Yes.
Hello? He had a responsibility. It wasn't until he was on the cross. Hello. And he looked at John and he says, behold thy mother.
Yes.
And he looked at the woman and said, woman. He didn't say mom.
Yes.
He said, woman, behold your son. He delegated that position to him. John said that from that time on, that woman became that mother of that man.
Yes.
And he went into his home.
Yes.
He lived. And John had to take care of her.
Hallelujah.
What does that say for us as a people?
Oh,
you know we're supposed to be saviors. Do you know that?
Yes.
We're supposed to be saviors. We are supposed to be saviors. That means the blood, that the bloodletting is that is going on out there. And it's not that the devil's not going to get his quota. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I started out, there was something talking about something that someone had mentioned about the souls under the altar. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We are seeing it, brother. We're seeing biblical prophecy of revelation come to pass.
Mm.
Hello? Hallelujah. Those saints said, how long, oh God, will you not avenge? Now I understand. Avenge. Can you understand? And the other thing that was in my mind is what they are doing to the children.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. What did Jesus say? It would be better for a man to have a millstone tied around his neck and what?
And
thrown into the sea. It would be better than it would be for the man that does something
to offend
to a child.
Yeah.
Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever read the prophetic prayers of Jeremiah? Huh? Have you ever read it? Oh God, avenge us. Avenge us, Lord. Do unto my adversary. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Hallelujah. But you know something? I'm fighting a devil. I'm not fighting human flesh. I'm fighting a devil. Hallelujah. And the salvation of those humans is God's business. But the business of the devil is my business. Hallelujah. And I have to begin my position of intercession for that set of circumstances. Hello? I have to begin to exercise my authority.
Mm.
Hello? I'm a son. Or I think I'm a son. I want to be a son. So I should start acting like a son. Huh? Hallelujah. How many times did Jesus go off by himself?
Yes.
Huh?
Many.
Hallelujah. Interceding, not only for his disciples, but for his nation. And the world at large, because he saw the destruction coming. Matthew 24 is very explicit. And in those days, the tribulation such as man has never known. Why? Because God wants his people to rise up.
Hallelujah.
In the midst of that tribulation, in the midst of that degradation, without fear.
Yes.
Without trepidation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. 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 And you know, I have to believe God for my family. I'm separated from a lot of them for a long time. My grandchildren grow up, and I miss the in-between stage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a price that we have to pay concerning our position, our place, and our personal position of comfort and personal preference. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You think I like getting on a plane? It used to be exciting. Not exciting anymore.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to calculate how many hours of my life have I spent in an airport. It's depressing. Hallelujah. It would be very depressing if it weren't, then it did not have an eternal purpose.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
It would be if it did not have a destiny. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it says here, it says that if it were possible. That if it were possible. Oh, if it's not possible then. No. That's not what he's saying. He says that the potential and the possibility is there, but there is something you can do about that possibility.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, in order for me to know somebody, I have to be with them. I have to go through circumstances and situations with them. There has to be an interaction and a working in that position of relationship. No matter who it is, I have to have that position of relationship that is conducive to me to know them. Hello? Hallelujah. And that is where, that is the position and the place that God wants for us as a people with Him. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. What was the lamentation that Jesus lamented over Jerusalem?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. I would have gathered thee. What? Like a hen would gather her chicks. Hallelujah. But ye would not. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, it was the church that crucified Christ. It was His chosen. It was the elect of God. What does that say for us? Is that a historical thought? Is that a historical situation that has no application to our present day situation? Our present day set of circumstances? The dream says something different. The Word of God says something different. Huh? Hallelujah. It was one of the 12 that betrayed Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One of the inner circle. It wasn't the outer circle! It was the inner circle! It was the elect of the elect. Hallelujah. It was one of the 12. Hallelujah. So that means I have the propensity to betray you. God help me.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a scripture. In Galatians, I think it is. And it's not talking to heathens. Not talking to sinners. It's talking to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Galatians? It says having a form of godliness. Huh? Having a form of godliness. Where is it, Colossians or is it Galatians?
Isn't it in Timothy?
Huh? Yeah.
I think it's in Timothy, isn't it?
Okay, is it in Timothy?
Second Timothy.
Well, let's find it. I want to read it.
Second Timothy 3:5.
Yes, I even have it marked. Let us go up the top. Now, remember, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's not talking about things outside of the church.
Yes.
I don't know. Sometimes I think we misunderstand the scripture. The scripture was written to the church, about the church.
Yes.
Mm. Hallelujah. And he used the church as an example for those things that are written in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's know also that in the last day, perilous times shall come. Hallelujah. Just one moment here. I hope you'll forgive me, but I want to use the Amplified.
Forgive me.
As long as you know that there is an authorized version.
Hallelujah.
That includes the very also.
I have a papa and daughter.
Careful, your day may come.
Okay. But understand this, that in the last days will come, or the last days will be set in perilous times. Hallelujah. Let us go now to the You know, some people use these things with such dexterity. I always admire Brother Tijoke. He gets up here and pushes this and that and that and this, and everything just falls into place. Okay, perilous times. Through the idea of reducing the strength. Difficult, dangerous, ferocious, fierce, perilous, hard to do, to take, to approach, hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, savage.
Oh my God.
You think that description is definitive of some of the environments in which we are living? You know, I don't know about yours, but I do. Your environment here is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't know what is going on, but I'm telling you because it says we are in perilous times.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, if you read the news, you know the United States is now persecuting Christianity.
Oh.
Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says here that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, yeah. We can say perilous times are here. Hallelujah. So this scripture that he's writing to Timothy about the church, concerning the people in the church, is pertinent to you and I in the church environment in which we are in.
That's right.
And the people whom with we are fellowshipping with. Hello. Hallelujah. 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 For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Huh? Listen to this one. Amplified. For people will be lovers of self and utterly
self-centered.
Lovers of money. Oh, I don't love money. I just love the things money does for me. I love the comfort that it brings me. Air conditioning in the summer, heating in the winter. Huh? I can have a car that has all the mechanics that even drive themselves now. Hello? I can have a smartphone that does my thinking for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, lovers, self-centered lovers, lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. He must be talking about sinners, right? No, sir. He's not talking about sinners. He's talking about the pernicious nature that is in humanity that is sitting in the church.
That's right.
Hallelujah. My job is to kill him.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
No, I didn't say your job was to kill me or me to kill you. I said, my job is to kill me.
That's right.
Kill me. Bring me under subjection. Paul said, I bring my body
under
subjection. That means I'm killing it. He said, I die daily, yet I live. Yet it is not I that live, but what? Christ is he that liveth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's a mortal man with eternity inside of him.
Oh,
and eternity is being preeminent in his lifestyle.
Amen.
Oh, and it's demonstrated. Nobody can say Paul was taking the best part of the offering.
Mm.
He didn't have a house. Huh? Didn't have a home base. He didn't have a car. Hallelujah. And the vehicles of transportation are somewhat like today. They were not reliable. Huh? He didn't know whether he was going to get on a boat and it was going to sink. Hallelujah.
Three times it did.
Well, that would have been three times too many for me. I'm sure you probably would have went the fourth time, but I don't know about me. Hallelujah. It says, that men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Yeah.
Covetous.
Yeah.
Huh? Covetous. Of course, you're not guilty of that, right? Huh? You look at something that somebody else has, or maybe it's just in the store window, and you say, wow, that would sure be nice. Have you ever, you know, I used to be a carpenter. And carpenter love tools.
Yeah.
The newer the tool, the greater the love. And you could always find a job that you have to buy that tool. Oh, yes. I said to my wife, you know, I really need this tool. I need this tool in order to do this and this and this and this and this. And it would make my work so much easier. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. I'm probably talking to the wrong people, right? Praise the Lord. It says covetous and boasters. 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 Now, come on. Have you ever got in a conversation with somebody and something went haywire and you got rose up and you really told that person what it was for what it was worth? Have you ever done that? No, not you. No, you haven't done that, right? Well, that wasn't the most bad part about the whole thing. The bad part about the whole thing is when you were relating it to your wife or husband later on, or maybe to a brother or sister, and you begin to tell them what you told them. Oh, I really told that guy off.
Oh, yeah.
I told him this and 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 this. And you come away feeling so good. Huh? Boasters. Boasters. Boasting of your position of preeminence. You know what it goes back to? It goes back to the programming. The devil says, ye shall be as gods. Huh? So, if I'm a god, and you're a god, my godship is better than your godship. Come on. It's an instinct of self-preservation.
That's right.
It's an instinct. We are pre-programmed in the aspect that they took some of that aspect of life and turned it into death. Come on, think about that one. The pre-programming. It says light and darkness. He said, do not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Devil turned around. Oh, God knows that when you eat of it, you'll become like God. So that means I have the right to eat of it. I'm a God now. I have a right to eat it. I got a right to dig into it. I have a right to taste it. I have to taste it in order to find out whether it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. 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 He says, now, he's talking to the church, and the most miraculous thing about it is that down the road, 3,000 years or 2,000 years, however long it is, down the road, we still have a record of it. Why? Why do we have a record of that? Why? 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 Because these words are written for our admonition. Mm. Hallelujah. I like to say they're written for our ammunition. Bullets that we can use against the devil.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's not talking about you, he's talking about me. Okay? He says, I have the potential to be covetous. I have the potential to be a lover of my own soul. Oh, yes, 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 I do.
Mm.
Hallelujah. If I think you're crowding my space, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get up in your face. I tell you to give me, get out of my face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the nature of the Antichrist in me, which is of that Adam dispensation. Hallelujah. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents.
Amen.
Oh, he didn't leave you children out either. unthankful, unholy. Hello? Children, you need to hear it. Without natural affection. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will, it says they will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. They will be without human affection.
Jesus.
Callous and inhuman.
Jesus.
You know, brother, it's hard for me to imagine a man, hallelujah, doing some of the things to other men, women, and children, or vice versa, in the way or the thing as it was being described last night, or as it we see in the newspaper. It's hard for me to comprehend humanity.
Yes. Yes.
Pre-programming of God consciousness to be able to inflict such degradation on other humanity.
Yeah.
It has to be that humanity. It's worse than a beast.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
It's worse than a beast.
Yes.
Animals will not do that to one another.
That's right.
Hello? They may growl and bark and kill, but they don't do what we do in the human realm. Hallelujah. To our own species, it is something that is totally, absolutely devoid of any God consciousness. Hallelujah. And it wasn't that they were born different than I was.
Son of God.
Son of the devil.
Yeshua.
Hallelujah. Brethren, don't point the finger around. Look in the mirror. God is saying, take a good, hard look at your look at yourself in the mirror so that you don't forget. Huh? Hallelujah. So that you don't forget. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Having. This puts it all in context. Having a form of godliness. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Having a form. Hallelujah.
So good.
It says, it is the word, oh my. It is the word morphosis. You know what metamorphosis is? It's the form of morphosis. It comes from another word. It comes from the word morphu. To fashion, to form. So it is a nature that is what? Being formed or fashioned to come to its position of demonic excellence. Having a form of metamorphosis. They, I'm changing. I'm being like God. I'm walking like God. I have the revelation of God. And all the time working contrary to the principle of change in your own life. Now, brethren, it is for you to determine what you have to change. I'm not telling you what to change. I'm telling you, you have to find out what you need to change. And believe me, if you are interested in changing, God will tell you what you need to change.
Amen.
God will tell you what you have to do in order to change.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Say, having a form of metamorphosis that brings godliness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Having a form. Hallelujah. But denying. Hallelujah. Denying the power thereof from such
turn away. That's not talking about another brother or sister. That's talking about you and I in our position of how we are saying one thing and doing another. Huh?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, I want to, it says, although that they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny, reject, and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. God help us. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that brings to my mind, and that scripture is found in Ephesians. Let's see, where was it? Okay, I lost it, but it's fully as known. Reject. I lost my place too. Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Praise the Lord. There is a requirement. And brethren, why is God bringing this word to us? Because God say we are, first of all, in a dilemma. Hallelujah. We have a word, and we have a destiny, and we have a time frame in which to meet that destiny. And we are wandering around in the maze of religion and not choosing the path by which that time frame may be utilized to bring the change. And God's saying, it's an emergency situation. Did you hear me? It's an emergency situation, and it requires emergency action. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to take heed. We have to look at the aspects of where we are, where we want to be. What do you want? What do you want in God? Do you want just heaven? Do you want just to get by? Do you want to be in a position or a place of excellence that God would commend you and recommend you for another position?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I think Brother Mark, was it you or somebody, the other day, when they were putting, they read a scripture about taking the lower seat.
Brother George.
Taking the lower seat. Hallelujah. That is an initiative that is given to me to institute. You know? Hallelujah. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I have to decide to take the lower seat. Hallelujah. Why? Not in the hopes that I would be promoted, but although the aspect is in that equation, but in the aspect, I am not taking something upon myself that is not mine to take. Hello? Hallelujah. So, brethren, God is admonishing us. He is admonishing. And I hope when we go away from this conference, we go away with the thought of commitment and a resolution to do something about our personal set of circumstances. Hallelujah. That we begin to investigate and we begin to intercede, not only for the church, but for our own position of salvation. Hallelujah. And that scripture that I shared with you this morning, where it talks about Noah and in the time frame, and only that 8 souls were saved. Hallelujah. The scripture that comes up to my mind with regards to that is the one that's found in the Gospels, is the way to life is straight, Narrow is the gate and straight is the way
that leads
into life.
And few there be.
What?
Few there be.
I want to be one of the few. What do you want to be?
I want to be one of the few.
I want to be one of the few. I don't want to be presumptuous to think I am amongst the few. I want to know I have a propensity to work outside of that few. I want to be in the categorization of the few.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
About the power of godliness. Could you tell us a bit more about the power of godliness? Could you tell us a bit more about the power of godliness?
Hallelujah. Well, the power of godliness is found in John chapter 1. And that's really a message all in itself. Because if you go into John chapter 1, it says, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
Yeah.
All things were made by Him, and without anything was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. So you see a progression of transference. The word is God, and God is the Word, and the Word was now becoming a Him. Huh? Your Bible tell you that?
Yep.
It becomes a Him. It's no longer abstract. It's no longer subjective. It becomes a Him. It now has a personality.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And without Him was not anything made. So the Him and the power of creation are one and the same thing.
Yes.
Right? So now the Him is described as a life, and the life is described as the
light
or the life of men.
Amen.
So the Him becomes an agent by which incorporates you and I as humanity in the totality of verse 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then if you turn around and you look over here, it says, but as many as receive Him, the Him, which is the Word, which is the light, which is the life, which is the life that is in us as men and women. To become
to them
the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, on that nature, on the position or the place of that nature. Go with me over here to John chapter 17. This is just a synopsis. Jesus is praying. Now, He's not just praying a prayer for His disciples, but it's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic promise. It's a prophetic utterance. And not only is it prophetic, but He's telling you the basis and the power of that prophetic word, in that He says here, in verse 5, He says, verse 4, He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. Now, when the word glorify, it means I have demonstrated Your nature. I have manifested Your nature. If you go to Philip, when he was asking Jesus to show him the Father, what did Jesus say?
Yeah.
Have I been so long with
you? Yes. So He and the Father were one and the same thing.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But now He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. His part. Oh, that is marvelous. I just got another word. I need a pen. Somebody got a pen? I need to write something down here.
On the board, right? In your book.
On the where?
Foot.
Okay. See, I'm learning too. Okay, Genesis. Hope I can remember my notes. Praise the Lord. He said, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So he wanted to be reinstated.
Amen.
In the Godhead. In the totality of that Godhead prior to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Alright? Alright? Hallelujah. So that means now he is positionally, by virtue of God's grace toward him, he is positionally back in the omnineness of God. The totality of all that God is. Now how can I say that? Because down here, hallelujah, down here, verse 22, "And the glory that thou gavest me,"
yes.
What glory?
Yes.
What glory? What glory did he ask for?
Mm-hmm.
The glory that he had at the beginning.
Yes. The glory that he has in the beginning. "The glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given
them."
Who's them?
Us.
Huh?
Us.
Well, specifically here, it's talking about the disciples. Mm-hmm. But, in verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone,
yes,
but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Hallelujah. Now that incorporates us in the position or the prayer or the prophetic word that Jesus is now prophesying in John chapter 17. And he says here, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one.
Hallelujah.
That the world, see, it's not in the hereafter, that the world may know, that's the heathen, that is the principalities and the powers, hallelujah, that they may know that thou hast sent me and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So everything that God is yours to possess and to become. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's the best I can do.